Nigerians heading for a polls to choose a successor to President Muhammadu Buhari. Voters also casting ballots in parliamentary elections. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps says it's developed a new long-range cruise missile. Death toll from the massive earthquake that hit Turkey and Syria on February 6th, surpassing 50,000. This is News with me, your host, Behruz Najafi. Good to have you with us. Beginning with Nigeria, people there heading for polls to cast their ballots in both presidential and parliamentary elections. The presidential vote is seen as a litmus test for the ruling All Progressives Congress Party of incumbent President Muhammadu Buhari. More than 90 million people have registered to vote in Africa's most populous nation. The presidential race is highly unpredictable as Buhari is facing huge challenges from terrorist attacks to a sluggish economy during his eight-year tenure. The ruling party has fielded Bola Tinubu to replace the incumbent. The opposition People's Democratic Party has chosen former Vice President Atiku Abubakar as his candidate. But a surprise third candidate is Labour Party's Peter Obi. Ballot counting is expected to take several days. A runoff has been predicted. The U.S. and Europe have urged calm. Nigerian elections have often been marred by violence due to political and ethnic tensions. Our correspondent in Abuja, Danjuma Abdullahi, who was present at a polling station, briefs us on the ongoing electoral process in Nigeria.
Today is a very important day in the history of Nigerians, because it is the day that millions of Nigerians are casting their vote to vote for a president who will rule the country for the next 4 years, and also parliamentary elections, that is senators and members of the House of Representatives. Voting started in some places at around 9 o'clock Nigerian time. People have voted, right there behind me in this polling unit, most people have voted. Other people are waiting to cast their vote. And so far from telephone calls that I have made across the country, I have not received any breach of the peace. I have not received anything that will affect the polls. Everything seems to be going very smoothly.
Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps says it's developed a new cruise missile with a range of more than 1,600 kilometers. The commander of the IRGC's aerospace division says the missile is named after the city of Pava to honor the martyrs of Kurdistan province. Brigadier General Amir Ali Hajizada made the announcement in an interview on the national broadcaster. He said Iran is in possession of hypersonic missiles, which no air defense system may ever be able to intercept. The general said that all missiles that Iran is now producing are precision strike weapons. The country has made quick advancements in its missile program in recent years. Tehran, however, has repeatedly stressed that its missile program is pure offensive and meant for deterrence. Political analyst Mustafa Khoshesh earlier joined us with his take on Iran's new advancements in the missile industry.
It's no secret that Iran has made much advancement in the area of technology, especially missile industries and drone technology and some other military technologies. Some of the features of the Iranian missiles have never been developed before. They are unique, including the precision striking capability that you just mentioned. Iran has developed its own arms development program since 1982, when it was under harsh attack with Saddam Hussein, supported by 37 nations directly and over 80 other nations indirectly. And Tehran was under the harshest sanctions ever imposed on any nation. And Iran was never allowed even to import barbed wire. The Iranian hypersonic missile, as it was stated last night by General Hajizadeh, travels 12 to 13 max, 12 to 13 times the speed of the sound. And then What matters more is that there is no system in the world to defend itself against such hypersonic missiles, no matter they're Iranian, Chinese, or Russians, or Americans. There has never been any kind of air shield to defend the target.
Commercial transactions between Iran and India have grown considerably. The two trade partners are boosting their bilateral ties. Trade between the two sides grew by 48% last year, and they reached $2.5 billion. Indian imports from Iran crossed the $650 million mark last year. That's up 60% over the year before. Oil products made up the bulk of Iran's exports to India in 2022, amounting to $175 million. Iran's exports of oil products to India increased fourfold last year compared to the same figure the year before that. In turn, rice was the most important commodity that Iran imported from India in 2022. Tens of thousands of Yemeni protesters staged a mass rally to show support for Palestine and condemn the assassination of the Yemeni President Saleh al-Samad in 2017. Yusuf Mauri has a report.
The streets of the Yemeni capital were poured with a huge number of Yemeni protesters who came out to express support for Yemen's late president, Saleh al-Samad. Saleh al-Samad was assassinated by the Saudi-led coalition back in 2018. He is hailed here as Yemen's martyred president.
We came out today to express solidarity and loyalty to the martyred president who sacrificed his life on the path of Allah. And we say to the killers of al-Samad, your criminal and reckless atrocities has given new life to a nation. The Yemeni people will accept nothing but the just punishment against the perpetrators.
Protesters also express solidarity with Palestinians who are suffering from Israeli regime attacks and crackdowns. Yemen's main cause is the Palestinian cause, according to government officials who addressed the crowd at the rally.
To the Palestinian people, we say, your blood is our blood, and our blood is your blood. Every drop of blood that is spilled in the land of Palestine is a drop of blood being spilled here in Yemen. Any oppression Palestinians face is considered oppression that is happening to us and every honorable Muslim.
The Palestinian cause will always remain dear and deep in the hearts and souls of the Yemeni people.
The latest protest in Sana'a comes in the midst of ongoing political efforts by the UN Special Envoy to Yemen to reach a deal between the Yemeni government and the Saudi-led coalition to end the conflict. Even if the war comes to an end, the Ansarullah-backed Yemeni government will continue to face many challenges from world powers, given its unequivocal support for Palestine.
Despite 8 years of war and a strangling blockade that has stirred Yemen into becoming the world's worst humanitarian crisis, tens of thousands of Yemenis remain defiant and showing support for the Palestinians who remain occupied by the Israeli regime. Yusuf Mawadi, Sana'a.
Palestinian resistance movement Hamas calling on the Palestinian people to step up resistance against the Israeli regime and settlers. Hamas has stressed that Israeli crimes won't change the identity of the Arab land as well as Islamic and Christian sanctities. The resistance movement made a call in a statement marking the 29th anniversary of the massacre of Palestinians by an American-Israeli extremist group at the Ibrahimi Mosque in the city of Al-Khalil. Hamas said that the anniversary of this heinous crime has coincided with another massacre in Nablus, where at least 11 people were killed in an Israeli raid on Wednesday. Hamas said that the Nablus deadly raid once again revealed the fascist nature of the Tel Aviv regime. A British court has ruled that a London-based company is liable for a deadly explosion that hit the Lebanese capital, Beirut, more than 2 years ago. The judgment by the High Court of Justice in London was issued after a lawsuit was filed against the British firm, Savara. There will be a further hearing to determine damages. The lawsuit was filed by lawyers from the Beirut Bar Association and families of some of the victims. They say that Savara is responsible for improper storage of chemicals at a Beirut port warehouse. There are hundreds of tons of ammonium nitrate were stored, which detonated and caused a huge blast in August 2020. The incident left more than 200 people dead. The latest ruling by the London court is regarded as an important step toward justice, as investigations into the incident have been impeded. Lebanon is grappling with the fallout of an economic crisis, food insecurity, in the country that's home to more than 5 million people, is among the consequences of the crisis. Our correspondent, Mariam Saleh, reports.
At one of Lebanon's local supermarkets, only a few items cost a bundle of Lebanese pounds. The country's cost of living crisis is taking a heavy toll on people, as 80,000 lira equal only $1. As Lebanon enters a third year of a deepening economic crisis, basic necessities like food and medicine have become more expensive than ever before. It has become almost a daily struggle for some families to put food on the table. This widow has 4 children. She tells Press TV that if there was no social welfare from private organizations, she would be unable to buy basic groceries.
The Western sanctions on the one hand and domestic corruption on the other hand have been affecting the situation, and it is the people who are suffering.
Many blame those in power for heeding to U.S. and Western control of monetary activity. People on the street say the increasing rate of the dollar is a major contributor to the crisis.
If the dollar became high, 1,000, the items more and more, not the real price. And you can see this in other supermarkets. You go, one supermarket is cheaper than others, and around 20,000-30,000. Why? So they don't, no control. Should be controlled, because really nobody can afford many things now in the supermarkets because it's high prices.
God help the families who have children and are in need of basic items like milk and yogurt. Bread has become 10 times more expensive. Even onions are not affordable now, and everything is in dollar.
Currency depreciation and the lifting of subsidies have resulted in a dramatic rise in prices of medicine as well, adding to the problems of a deteriorating Lebanese economy. Lebanon's national currency has lost now more than 90% of its value. Many believe that as long as imports are priced in U.S. dollars, which controls the market, there is very little hope for economic recovery. Mariam Saleh, Beirut.
The death toll from the earthquake that hit Turkey and Syria earlier this month, now topping 50,000. Turkish authorities have confirmed more than 44,000 fatalities as more bodies are still being pulled from under the debris. Syria raised the number of deaths from the magnitude 7.8 quake to nearly 6,000. February 6th, Tembler completely destroyed or severely damaged more than 160,000 buildings in Turkey. According to official figures, it's also displaced 1.5 million people. Rashan Saglam says the aftershocks of the February 6th earthquake still hit several regions in Turkey.
Last Monday, the search and rescue has stopped because there was no hope for finding more survivors. Of course, the government did say that they will not stop the search and rescue until they lose this hope. And indeed, they did. Monday at night, they stopped all the search and rescue due to not finding any source of or sound coming from under the debris from any of the buildings in all the 10 cities that were called disaster areas and were affected by the earthquakes. There are a lot of aftermath earthquakes happening from the beginning of the first earthquake in February 6th, the one that happened in the early hours of the morning. Until today, we are still witnessing aftermath earthquakes. Now, actually, there was one in Konya, which was 4.3 degree magnitude. Another one in Sivas, 4.7, and those two cities actually were not affected in the first earthquake and are likely a little bit far, like Konya is a few kilometers far, is in the middle of Turkey. So these aftermath are worrying the government and people.
Well, we're also joined by a correspondent in Syria, Mohammed Ali, who discussed how the recent easing of some EU sanctions that allowed a freer flow of aid into Syria by European countries, an important step, but not enough.
The EU took a very important step, easing some of the sanctions, allowing humanitarian organizations in EU countries to deliver aid to Syria without taking permission from the EU. Now, despite the fact that this is very important, however, it's definitely not enough. because Syrians do not just need food and medicine. Syrians need reconstruction over here in the country. The Syrian government cannot actually take this important step of reconstructing the entire country without the lift of those sanctions. There are equipment needed, heavy trucks and equipment and vehicles needed for the reconstruction process. The economic situation is deteriorating. The daily lives of Syrians is being affected by those sanctions, not to mention the illegal presence of the U.S., which is occupying north and northeast of Syria, taking control of the oil-rich areas, which is also affecting the prices across the country of basic food and medicine.
Two Pakistani brothers have been released from infamous U.S. Guantanamo Bay prison after being held for more than two decades. Abdul and Mohammad Rabbani already arrived at an airport in the Pakistani capital, Islamabad. They will be reunited with their families after going through a formal questioning by the authorities. The chairman of the Human Rights Committee in Pakistani Parliament said that the pair were jailed without any charge or trial. Both brothers say that they were tortured in CIA custody before being transferred to Guantanamo Bay. That's the prison that the U.S. set up at a naval base in Cuba after 9/11 attacks in 2001. The compound is notorious for alleged use of widespread torture and abuse of inmates. That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish. Hazrat Abbas, the resplendent moon. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Heartiest congratulations to you on a very blessed day. Today is the birthday of a very special person. He was none other than the valiant standard bearer of the immortal Epic of Karbala. We have prepared for you an exclusive program on this heroic personality at whose shrine millions flock, and salute him with the words Ya Babul Murad, which means O Gateway of Boons. He was none other than Abul Fazl Abbas, peace upon him, the valiant son of the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, and the brother of Imam Hussein, peace upon him. Please stay with us. do not suppose those who were slain in the way of Allah to be dead. Rather, they are living and provided for near their Lord. What you heard was Ayah 169 of Surah Al-Imran of the Noble Quran, which could be called self-explanatory. Indeed, the words of God Almighty are crystal clear and without the least doubt the ultimate truth, as is proven by the spiritual atmosphere at the shrines of the martyrs in whose sanctified precincts the Quran is constantly recited and the supplications of the pilgrims in the divine court are answered. Today, the 4th of Sha'ban, is the birth anniversary of one such immortal martyr, who, as we said earlier, is regarded by the faithful as the doorway to divine bounties. Since beseeching the Lord Most High by invoking the name of this martyr opens up doors of blessings for the supplicants. He was born in the holy city of Medina in 26 AH, corresponding to 647 AD, and departed from the world in the heat of battle in the prime of manhood in 61 AH, at the age of 34, in defense of Islam and humanitarian values, while trying to fetch water for the thirsty children of his brother, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, grandson of the Almighty's last and greatest messenger to mankind, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. For those to whom the identity of this valiant person is still not clear, the following passage from the Ziyarat, or standard form of salutation for him, ought to remove any doubts. Peace upon you, O Abul Fazl Abbas, son of the Commander of the Faithful. Peace upon you, O son of the Chief of Legatees of the Prophets. Peace upon you, O son of the first in Islam, the foremost in faith, the staunchest in religion of Allah, and the most judicious of Islam. I testify you most sincerely served Allah, His Messenger, and your brother. You were the most excellent brother. So Allah's curse on the group that killed you, and Allah's curse on the group that wronged you, and Allah's curse on the group that violated your sanctities and infringed the sanctity of Islam. You were the most valiantly steadfast fighter, protector, supporter, and brother who defended his brother, responded to the obedience to his Lord, and worked desirably for gaining the abundance toward and the excellent tribute that others couldn't. So Allah may attach you to the rank of your fathers in the gardens of bliss. It is said that when Fatima bin Huzam, the noble lady whom Imam Ali, peace upon him, had married several years after the passing away of his wife, the Prophet's impeccable daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, gave birth to a radiant son, Imam Ali, one of whose famous epithets is Haydar, or Lion, named the newborn Abbas, which is also lion in Arabic. Imam Ali, peace upon him, then called his two sons Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, peace upon them, the grandsons of the Prophet and the leaders of the Youth of Paradise, who were both in their early 20s, and told
the younger of them? Oh, my son Hussein, I am entrusting to you this child. He will represent me on the day of your supreme sacrifice and lay down his life in defending you and your dear ones, much as I would have done if alive on that day. The newborn's mother, who later acquired the epithet of Ummul Banin, beamed with joy and considered it a great honor that her son was entrusted to the son of the most noble lady of all times, and thus, out of respect for the immaculate Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, she taught the young Abbas to address the Prophet's two grandsons as masters and not brothers. This was the reason Hazrat Abbas, peace upon him, used to call Imam Hassan Sayyidi, meaning my lord, and Imam Hussein Maulai, my master. The two leaders of the Youth of Paradise, especially Imam Hussein, peace upon him, took great care to groom Abbas and implanted in him the grains of firm faith. And so valorous, wise, loyal, and handsome did Abbas grow that till this day, in addition to earning immortal fame as Qamare Bani Hashim or Moon of the Hashemite clan, he is known as the epitome of fealty and fidelity for standing firm and steadfast beside Imam Hussein, peace upon him, even if it cost him the loss of both his hands, an arrow in the eye, a head-smashing blow of the mace, and eventually his life. The loss of limbs and life, however, did not pain Abbas. What broke his heart was the arrow that pierced the goat-skin carrier hanging around his neck that spilled the water he had fetched from the river Euphrates after a gallant fight with the dastardly enemy for the thirsty children and women in the camp of his brother. The person who was in charge of handling social and related issues during the imamats of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, peace upon them, and who till this day continues to resolve the needs of all those who call on his threshold as Babul Murad, breathed his last with a smile on his lips and the gaze of the remaining eye fixed on the countenance of Imam Hussein, peace upon him. True to the words and wishes of the Commander of the Faithful, today, the shrine of Hazrat Abbas, peace upon him, in Karbala stands as a sentinel to the shrine of Imam Hussein, peace upon him. His ziyarat has been prescribed by no less than three infallible imams of the Prophet's household: Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon him, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, and the Lord of our age, Imam Mahdi. May God hasten his reappearance for establishment of the global government of peace, prosperity, and justice. Here is a passage from the ziyarat of the person whose birthday is marked as Ruze Jambaz, or the Day of the Valiant Volunteers, who lost their limbs during the 8-year war imposed on Iran by the U.S., godfather of all terrorism, through Saddam of the repressive Ba'ath minority regime of Baghdad in 1980s. O son of the Commander of the Faithful, I bear witness that you resigned yourself to the will of Allah, sincerely accepted as true, faithfully kept your promise, showed yourself as a reliable friend with regard to the grandson of the Prophet's blessings of God upon him and his progeny, since Hussein was his Prophet's noble grandson. The sagacious guide, delegatee who promoted religion, and the wrongfully oppressed. So Allah rewarded you on behalf of His Messenger, of the Commander of the Faithful, of Hassan and of Hussein. Blessings of Allah upon them. How excellent is the reward available in the eternal life.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. For a number of episodes now, we have been discussing the concept of taqwa, and we said taqwa is a moral term, meaning keeping away from sin and being obedient to Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sense that one is God wary of it. So we looked at number of verses in the Quran that Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about taqwa, and we explained how taqwa is important in our life. And we said that taqwa plays a big role in trying to achieve peace, harmony, unity in society. Now, we want to see what do we need to do to acquire taqwa. The first thing a person needs to acquire taqwa and be a muttaqi, which is the foundation, is basically to have faith, to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to be able to believe in the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who brought us the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the person himself does not have faith in Allah and does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then taqwa wouldn't be there for him, because taqwa, it requires Allah in the system. Then a person becomes what? Becomes aware of Him. So we need to have that. So the Quran considers that the faith is one of the most important things that a man can do. So Allah says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, constantly, those who believe and those who work and act. So faith itself leads to action. Another element
of taqwa or requirement of taqwa is forgiveness of sin. So surviving hellfire, fear and distress are among the fruits of being God wary and being God conscious, being a muttaqi. These are the fruits of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He comes to the muttaqeen, He forgives their sins. He will save them from hellfire. And whatever distress that they might face, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them. And you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran in many times. He says, Allah will do this except for the muttaqeen. Allah will do that except for the muttaqeen. Allah will do this except for the muttaqeen. So there are a number of groups of people are excluded from hellfire and saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they are in the right mindset to achieving taqwa. And as they become muttaqeen, then they get saved. Otherwise, a person would do and would go on the wrong side of the road. So self-assessment is among other attributes of the God worry which has been emphasized in the Quran itself. So we will continue looking at this, but for now, let's take a short break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. We are new. You are listening to the program for humanity. Now, so we are looking at taqwa and how one can achieve taqwa. There is one beautiful sermon in the book Nahjul Balagha, Peak of Eloquence, where it is called the Sermon of Muttaqin. You can get that from any online website or from any Google search. So the Sermon of Al-Muttaqin in Najd Balagha, Amir al-Mu'mineen Salamullah alayhi explicitly and beautifully explains the conditions and terms of Muttaqin and who are the Muttaqin. So in this verse, the Imam Salamullah alayhi gives a comprehensive and accuracy of religions and moral traits of the God worry. Hammam asked him to describe the God worry for him. And then the Imam Salamullah alayhi described the qualities of God worry. So Hammam, I don't know what came to him, but he said to him, explain to me al-muttaqin. So the Imam says to him, you cannot comprehend it, let it go. It's not for you. This information is not for you. But Hammam, being Hammam, he refused. He said, no, now you got it. You have to tell me. Now I'm just intrigued. So he kind of pushes himself on the Imam. And the Imam says to him, okay, if you insist on knowing who the Muttaqin are, the Muttaqin are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which they're all in his vicinity. And then the Imam, Salamullah alayhi, begins explaining to him the attributes of Muttaqin, and he goes through them one by one. When Hammam heard the attributes of Muttaqin and who they are, clearly he could not comprehend what he has just heard from Amir al-Mu'mineen. So in some of the narrations it said that when Hammam listened to him, to the Imam describing the three or the traits of Muttaqin, Hammam just felt unconscious. And some narration said he passed away. And the Imam says, well, we told him not to, but he insisted. So you can see that when it comes to taqwa and Muttaqin, it is actually more than a word that we throw around. So if we want to have a better place, live in a better place, and make this world a more happier place, make this world a more easier place to live in for myself and for other people, maintain the rights of other people, and especially when it comes to those who live with us, when it comes to our families, when it comes to our children, when it comes to our neighbors. We need to be extremely God-wary and conscious, because sometimes we take these people for granted and then we misuse them and we harm them. And by misusing and harming people, then obviously I am not observing the human rights issue here. So whether it is my son or my daughter or my spouse or my neighbor, they're human beings at the end of the day. They have rights that I need to maintain. So we will do, inshallah, more thorough looking into the taqwa in the Quran and how we can apply it to today's world. And we will discuss it in other episodes, inshallah. So until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sador Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Limelight. Efforts are underway around the world to topple the hegemony of dollar. The Russian president has recently said Moscow will cooperate with its partners to develop a safe system for international settlements. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of RT wrote in this regard,
The U.S. and other Western currencies will inevitably lose their leading position in global cross-border transactions, Russian President Vladimir Putin has said recently. Delivering his annual address to the Federal Assembly, the head of state said that Moscow would cooperate with its allies to build a secure system of international settlements that are not dependent on the dollar or the euro. According to Putin, the current policies of Western states are causing the U.S. dollar and the euro to lose their universality in international payments. He explained that Russia's former Western partners are forcing Moscow to cut settlements in dollars and other Western currencies. In December, Putin stated that the share of the ruble transactions in Russia's foreign trade had doubled since the beginning of 2022 and now accounted for one-third of the country's settlements. He projected that the use of national currencies in place of the US dollar and the euro in trade with Russia's international partners would continue to grow. The process of de-dollarizing the Russian economy started back in 2014, when Western nations introduced the initial sanctions against Moscow over Crimea's reunification with Russia, which was formerly part of Ukraine. Sanctions imposed since the start of the military operation in Ukraine have sped up the process, particularly after over $300 billion in Russian foreign exchange reserves and other assets were frozen by the U.S. and its allies. Al-Mayadin English, meanwhile, wrote, Russia and Egypt consultations for de-dollarization is underway. Consultations on the transition to national currencies as a means of exchange between Egypt and Russia are underway, according to Russian ambassador to Egypt, Georgi Borisenko. The purpose of these talks is to move away from the dollar and thus will help to avoid the arbitrariness on the part of Western countries that use their own currencies for geopolitical purposes. According to the ambassador, from the spring of 2022, intensive consultations have been ongoing regarding the transition to national currencies in settlements in mutual trade. Borisenko also lauded Egypt for resisting Western pressure and continuing to expand its relations with Russia. Despite all these pressures, Egypt remains faithful to the traditions of friendship between our countries laid down during the presidency of Gamal Abdel Nasser and continues to actively interact with Russia in the economic, cultural spheres and various international political platforms, Borisenko said in an interview with Sputnik. As the world moves away from the US dollar as a world reserve asset, dollars will be dumped globally, causing a tsunami of inflation in the United States as the currency returns to American shores. Interest rates will rise accordingly, followed by a collapse in asset prices, which would be used to usher in central bank digital currencies and the Great Reset. This dire scenario is the forecast of Andy Sketchman, president and owner of Miles Franklin and an expert on monetary and economic history. Sketchman, who has 3 decades of experience in the precious metal sector, said that BRICS, including Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa coalition, could lead the charge to develop their own reserve currency, which would compete against the US dollar. He said, "The BRICS are, I think, coalescing against the dollar, the perceived hypocrisy and hegemony of the dollar. We've already been told that the BRICS currency would be pegged to gold or to commodities, the assumption being that gold is one of the commodities." The BRICS are meeting in Durban, South Africa in August, and one of their agenda items is the development of an alternative to the US dollar. Skettman told Michelle McCurry, lead anchor and editor-in-chief at Kitco News, that the dollar's weaponization during the Russia-Ukraine conflict has hastened the move to dump dollar. He suggested that the Western sanctions on Russia, as well as expelling Russia from the SWIFT payment system, has had a chilling effect, deterring other nations from using the dollar. Skettman observed, since the weaponization of the dollar in 2022, the de-dollarization seems to be spinning much, much faster.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day and here at IRIB English Radio, we would like to offer our esteemed listeners congratulations and a heartened Mabruk, because as you know, today is the birthday of the son of Imam Ali alayhi salam and the brother of Imam Hussein, Hazrat Abul Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to recite for our listeners a beautiful hadith which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is about the virtue of Hazrat Abbas. In the book Kibrit al-Kibrit al-Ahmar, it has been narrated that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, addressing Hazrat Abbas, said, أَقَرَّ اللَّهُ أَيْنَكَ, which can be roughly translated as, may Allah make you happy, may Allah give happiness to you. فَأَنْتَ بَابُ الْحَوَائِجِ, for verily, or it could also be translated as congratulations to you, or may, you know, فَأَنْتَ بَابُ الْحَوَائِجِ, you are the door from which the requests and the aspirations of those who desire something are granted. Then the Prophet said, فَشْفَعْ لِمَنْ شِئْتَ, so you should intercede on behalf of anyone whom you so wish. This is a reference to one of the virtues of this great person. It's also something which is popular amongst the followers of the school of thought of the Ahlul Bayt. They refer to Hazrat Abbas as Babul Hawa'ij. This is one of his titles, his epithets that we refer to him with. And the basis of this is this very hadith. In another beautiful hadith, we read the following. About Hazrat Abbas. It has been narrated in Ma'ali al-Sibtain, a book, that when the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, was nearing his death, and he was in his bed, approaching his time to depart from this world, he called his son Abbas to him. When he did, he hugged him and pulled him close to his chest and said the following, Waladi, O my son, O my child, وَسَتَقَرُّ بِكَ فِي يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, soon my eyes will be revealed, my eyes will be relieved by you on the day of resurrection, or you will be a source of happiness to me on the day of resurrection. Which probably is a reference to, again, the power of intercession which has been granted to him, which he will use to forgive many of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam on the day of resurrection. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the virtues of Hazrat Abul Fadl al-Abbas in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.